I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 22. And yes, we'll stay in NASCAR, but we're going to set the Wayback Machine.
Okay, good.
To 1969. And Bobby Allison's Dodge Charger with the high wing.
Sounds tasty.
Coca-Cola sponsored too, so it was red and gold.
This is the pit crew with like the Coca-Cola pants.
Yeah. Same guy.
Oh, that's so sick. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, cool. these are those like the Plymouth Superbirds. This was the Dodge Charger with the big wing. 23-inch rear wing, let's put it that way. And a slant nose.
Highly unnecessary, but so yes. Necessary.
1,200 pounds of downforce were created.
And am I the one to sound crazy here? I'm not saying you were, but you're sticking with NASCAR. I was like, is he going to say Joey Logano? Is he going to say Sam Hornish Jr.? Is he going to say H. Allmendinger? I mean, right? Come on.
No, we went with the real men of NASCAR.
The real men of NASCAR.
Right.
So you're telling me Austin Dillon's not the real man of NASCAR?
Nor is Ty Dillon. Nor is Ty Gibbs.
He beat Denny Hamlin's favorite driver.
He did take a shot at Denny.
Which was pretty good. I gotta admit. I liked it. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, moving on. All right, that's exciting. We'll talk NASCAR at Atlanta. Formula One at the Austrian Ring. We'll talk a little bit of Spa, 24 hours. Had a little bit of everything in it. 75 GT3 cars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was good stuff. Then we'll do some news and notes, and then we will have a review of the much anticipated Formula One, the movie. Let's dig in. Nate, NASCAR, Crash Fest, win goes to Chase Elliott. Well, what more that's all I can say.
Well, I mean, for Chase Elliott, this is a big deal for him because never mind that he wins at home, right? But he also now gets into the chase. And, the playoffs. I sound like such a 2004, 2005 fan of the sport. I know, but I keep calling it the chase.
It's exciting.
So that's and then now there's 8 more races left. So we go green at Atlanta, and I'll tell you, it. Would you call it a super speedway? Now,
Atlanta.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah, based on like the package or whatever, and
yeah. I mean, it's one of the better. It's not the ginormous super speedway that is Talladega, right. Or Daytona.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the Texas, Charlotte, Michigan.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But
like it since they reconfigured it.
I gotta say that is a. It's a really good reconfiguration, if there is any.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, love an old Atlanta with the high horsepower cars, like, nearly 900 horsepower they were running. And they put on great races because the tire fall-off was insane. Yeah,
the thing is, I just don't like the prominence of it on the schedule. I'm just not, it's just a track. It's not it's not, it doesn't have a Provence as Daytona or Talladega.
Right. Well, you know? As Daytona ages, you're going to see the character come in.
Oh, Daytona has aged.
Yeah. I know. They just keep repaving it.
I like it. But anyways, go on.
No, you're good. And so there was the two big highlights, right, were the big one, which was 23?
26.
Oh, I was going to say, that's insane. Because there was, I mean, the most you could have in a field is 40 cars.
40, isn't it? Let's see where we started here. We started 40 cars. From 29th on down, they did not finish.
Yeah, because of that wreck. Yeah.
Because of that wreck. Now, there were cars involved in the wreck that did finish.
Yeah, I mean, these cars are really strong.
This tells you how much like these two. When this wreck happens, this tells you how much turbulence that calls or tumultuous shuffling in the standings. Not the point standings, but the overall standings of the race, because one BJ McLeod got a top 10 20 finish.
Yes.
Cody Ware, who's going to be out of a ride with his father selling the team, got a top 13 finish.
You know, and there's a lot of those stories, you know, because I think Ty Dillon and Connor Zillage, they scored really well.
Ty Dillon got an eighth. Brad Keselowski's adopted son, Carson Hocevar, got a top 10. Bad Brad finished second.
How dare you? He was going to win.
I love that he gets hosed. Oh. It's awesome. And your other favorite driver, Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
They were 1-2 with like.
I got a question.
Five laps to go.
Did Ricky Stenhouse Sr. ever drive?
I don't think so, but he got one hell of a punch from Kyle Busch.
Yeah, the All-Star race. Yeah, he did.
What, last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
So. He can take a punch. So I think
Ray was there any? I mean, I essentially saw just saw the wreck. But was there any drama in the race, Nate, or was it just it come down to the end and Bad Brad getting hosed?
I mean, it was just it was that. But he beat Kyle Busch in the bracket, in season tournament.
Oh God!
Is that whole thing started?
Is this? Wait, what? There's a what?
In-season tournament.
Oh God, please no! This is like the NBA and that stupid thing that they have.
Oh, I don't like that either. Yeah, I think it's so silly.
Yeah, why is it you don't?
What's the point?
But what's the point of this in NASCAR?
No, but what's the point of this? Then the playoffs. Like why?
Right.
This point, it's too much, right?
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to like, you know, there's some fun people doing it. That's why you saw Ty Dillon do that little jab thing after the race. It was funny. It was tongue in cheek, right? But it was that's what that is referring to.
You think Denny's gonna wreck him?
Be one and done with it. I mean, it wouldn't have. Ty Dillon needs to win a race. He needs, you know what I mean? Like, I think he has bigger fish to fry than this.
Yeah. Well, Pop Pop will get upset.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, right? I mean,
yeah.
Austin Dillon's going to win Daytona.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, God. Well.
Anyway, big wreck, 26 cars.
Big wreck. Yep.
Brad Keselowski was looking really good until. Chase Elliott from Dawsonville.
Yeah.
Takes it. Yep. Oh. And it's him and teammate Alex Bowman. Oh,
yes,
Brad
Bowman.
Bowman. Yeah. I was because I knew Bowman made a move to try to like finish behind Elliott. But one guy I would also, you know, keep close tabs with who finished in the top 10 is Zane Smith. Truck Series champion, been with Front Row Motorsports. You know, this is a really good result, finishing seventh. So I'd look for him to keep that momentum going. And he might be one of the surprises that wins a race this year.
Mm-hmm.
Pre and during playoff NASCAR.
All right.
So playoff standings.
I have those somewhere here. Hold on. I'm checking. I have found them.
Because now there's 8 races left.
Yep.
But now
so,
it's a matter of how many drivers are left.
All right. So,
oh my gosh. There's so only 4 spots left.
So sitting in 6th place right now. And not with no wins is Tyler Reddick.
Right.
So he's the first of the non-winners in points.
Okay.
Then it's Buescher in 9th place, no wins. Bowman, I can't believe it doesn't have a win. Darryl Wallace has no wins. And Ryan Preece, who's had some strong finishes of late, has no wins. And he's 14th overall.
Yep.
But those that are in with wins, very exciting. We got William Byron, Chase Elliott, Young Money, Denny Boo Hamlin, Christopher Bell.
Boo Hamlin.
That's what I like to call him. Ryan Blaney, Ross Chastain, Chase Briscoe. Oh, God. Logano. Austin Cindric. Josh Berry with a win.
That's right. Vegas. Yep.
Vegas. Scrolling. SVG's got a win.
Yeah, 30th place in points. And
that's all right. He's in. Win. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
10th in points, right?
Doesn't matter because this – oh, no, he can't qualify it this weekend. Huh. All right.
What?
No. SVG? No, not SVG. We'll get to it when we – so that's kind of the standings right there.
Yeah. And so okay. –
All right. So next up
is a SVG victory.
Well, I disagree with the name of this.
The what? The Grant Chicago Park,
the Grant Park 165. Why can't they call it the South Park 165?
Why is it South?
The TV show South Park.
Oh,
why not?
See, now we're talking. But it's not in Colorado. So. Yeah.
I know, but who cares?
Here we go with our conversation about, you know, sponsored races, right?
Yep.
So now, I mean, I remember there being a SpongeBob race at Chicagoland, and I recall Bikini Bottom being in Chicagoland, but here we are.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, is Zilich running this weekend?
He should,
if he is. In the cup race?
Let me check the entry list. He is not.
He's not. They don't have him entered. No.
Because there's 41 cars. One's
for
40 going home.
Spots. Yep.
But there's some interesting names in here. Well, 2 supercar guys.
Cam Waters. Who's in from the supercar?
No, I'm sorry. One guy. Will Brown.
Will Brown. Yep.
He's in the oh my gosh. Colic Racing. Number 13. It's not often raced. But that's like
the
third or fourth car. Yeah. So Will Brown will be racing with Colic Racing in the number 13, who's also from Toowoomba, Australia.
Toowoomba.
Yeah. So who else is from Toowoomba?
Will Power.
Will Power in the Verizon car.
Will Power, the Verizon car.
So that's a notable name that I saw.
And they're racing this weekend at Mid-Ohio.
Who? Xfinity? Oh,
Indy.
Oh my gosh, IndyCar. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that's why Will Power can't be at Chicago.
Tartar sauce. And Corey Heim, Catherine Legg. Let's go.
Yeah.
And Beth Balicki. I'm trying to think, like, who's going to be, like, who's one of the open cars? Oh, probably get up. Anyway, so there's five cars in the looking to get in with the open spots.
Gotcha.
Okay, if I'm taking a gander at it, it's Will Brown, Josh Balicki, Corey Heim, Kath Leg, Austin Hill. Interesting. He's running the 33 with Richard Childress Racing. That'll be interesting. Anyway, so, yep, off to Chicago Street Race for Xfinity and Cup. Trucks aren't going until July 25th. They're going to be at IRP, Indianapolis Raceway Park.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's always a fun time to see stock cars go around there. Or, I guess in this case, stock trucks.
Stock trucks.
Truck, yeah. And that was fun watching them at Lime Rock.
Yep, I thought it was too.
Yep. Chris, Corey Heim won. Thoughts
on that?
On which?
The truck. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was good until, you know, the last restart of the race, where they just run through everyone. But,
yeah.
I mean, again, the...
Yeah. Chandler Smith?
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Ball?
I don't really know what I was expecting more of from them.
No, that's the crap, Nate. Seriously. Like,
yeah.
if you're gonna wait till the end of the race and just start hitting people, I'm like, you know.
And like I get it. It was hard to pass at that track, because really,
no, it's not hard to pass there. You just get it. You got to be crafty to pass there.
I mean,
yes, and the field got very strung out. So if you were going to make a move, you would have had to make it on that first lap, because the pace difference between first and 20th or 30th was 3 seconds around a 54-second lap time.
Right.
You can only imagine, had JT not locked it up in qualifying, what that pole time would have been.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I think it would have been in the 52s, like solidly in the 52s.
Yeah, and his lap time was still pretty good for pole.
So anyway. All right, shall we move on?
Let's
move to let's do some GT3, the last of the back to back to back 24-hour races occurred this weekend with the 24 hours of Spa.
Nice.
73 cars took to the track.
Oh.
And your winner was the Lamborghini Huracan, followed by a Porsche 911 GT3 and a Ferrari from AF Corsa. Did you watch any of the race, Christian?
The Spa 24? I had it on in the background. I was just kind of keeping an eye on it here and there. There was a nasty.
There were two nasty ones. Yes.
Yeah. The one that I'm.
You talking about the Porsche and the McLaren?
Yeah, it was with those two.
Yeah.
Lawrence Heinrich just.
What I'm saying. Yeah. He was completely unsighted. I don't know. My only thing was on that, was there a white flag telling the guys that there was a slower car ahead?
It doesn't matter. That McLaren was in a bad spot.
I know. It had nowhere to go. I don't know where he could have gone. Like, unless he just went off the track somewhere.
To the left of the track, mean?
He should have just went off to the right, way in the runoff, and honestly just
okay.
cut the track over the grass to get into the pits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have done that. Yeah. Isn't that, and I'm not going to put that on the driver, but I mean, in theory it is, but shouldn't the crew be telling them what to do?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure.
A little bit of both.
You know, like, anyways. Yeah. And it was completely unsighted because the other guy came, the Mercedes came around the corner and was like, whoa, yeah. He moved to the left and it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carnage. That was too bad.
And then what was the other one?
Wasn't there one going up after Eau Rouge? It was I thought there was one during the race up in there. But that was the big the one you're referencing was a big one.
Yeah.
I mean those guys I will say what I like about that race and it's all the same class cars in terms of GT3 cars. Mm-hmm. It's just go from the get-go. Mm-hmm. You know? So, and the other good thing was there was no weather this year. So
No. There was just like a string of cautions during the first part of the race.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like that's kind of why I was like somewhat
end of the first lap there was one with guys spun out and he got clipped and yeah, there was a lot of that, yeah.
So, I mean,
100% agree.
And guys just kind of beached in the gravel and whatnot. So, I mean, like it was that's why I was like kind of half tuning in, half not, cuz like it was just hard
you kinda,
to watch, but
you kind of watched the race in a Max Verstappen kind of way. Kept your eye on it.
Yeah, just kept my eye on it.
I mean, he had a vested interest.
He did. That was very impressive to see his Verstappen.com Aston Martin
and
take the win.
The unfortunate,
Gold Cup
the unfortunate thing was with his quick exit, he could have made it over there.
I know.
Just in time for the podium.
No, just kidding. The race ended before the Formula One, or just after the Formula One. Anyway. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? I like that race. Especially when it's the weather's nice and then it's dry and they go in overnight, because then the cars really shine as in the overnight. Mm-hmm. You know? So I kind of enjoy that. So. I don't know, just my thoughts on it.
Yeah. No, I mean, mm-hmm. overall can't.
So, as noted, our gold class winner was Verstappen.com Racing. I'm not quite sure. There was no, that other guy, Franz, what's his name?
Franz Herman?
Franz Herman was not in the car. K-Mag ran.
With, yes, it's about 24.
He ran with Valentino Rossi and Rene Rast in a BMW.
I was going to say it had to have been a BMW ride.
It was, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Was that his first Spa 24 or something like that, right?
I think so.
Probably.
Trying to find, I'm looking and I apologize, I can't find this. I thought. This is kind of troubling. I was under the impression, and Christian quote me if I'm wrong on this, that Colin Brown won his class. Or was that not correct?
I'm unsure. I just remember the pro class winners and the gold class. That's it.
Yeah. I thought that was like whatever. I can't remember what class that is.
They came in third.
Third in Pro-Am? Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that he got on the
podium. Fun race.
I didn't know he was there.
What a grind. Three 24-hour races in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from Le Mans to the Nürburgring to this.
But I'll tell you, there is, like, I think 7 or 8 guys that did all 3.
Oh yeah, definitely. The factory guys definitely did.
Yeah.
Except for the guys that were at Watkins Glen last weekend for BMW.
Right, because they were using all of them.
Yeah. So, but anyways, that was pretty, and BMW is still one that never ranked. But anyways, yeah. So that was fun. What a grind that was. All right. Just in the world of sports cars, next big event coming up is the in 2 weeks, the WEC is in Sao Paulo.
Ooh.
That'll be a good one.
Could be a great track. Love it. All right. Let's move to Formula One. Christian, did you watch the race?
Yes, I did.
All right. Exciting.
Yeah. I mean, after, I guess.
Honestly, the only thing that did not change. I mean, the way qualifying went down, McLaren was, again, king of the field. The question was who would finish third, and honestly, never got to see the fight because the race was disrupted on the third turn.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, good start by everyone, at least for the first two corners, and then get to the third, and Kimi locks up, and in the process of trying to collect his car, he ends up collecting Verstappen in the process. That brings out caution for the first three laps. And then after that, the McLaren just pulled away. Good battle between Norris and Piastri. Piastri was definitely hounding Lando for most of the race, but it looks like that Piastri and his engineer just made the wrong call of how to attack it. But I mean,
I think you're right.
It was nice to see them fight each other. It was clear that Norris just didn't have the pace on the medium tires, it seemed. This is coming from qualifying when Oscar didn't have a good shot at
taking the pole from Lando.
Because that would have definitely given him the edge there and just probably walked away a little bit more with the race. I think with some of the next tracks that are coming up, I think they're more favored to Lando, and Lando's been Piastri's been definitely up at a high because of Norris's mistakes, and so when Lando doesn't make a mistake, he's up at the front. So hard to beat someone when they're flawless, and we've seen that with Max a bunch of times. But obviously, if you put a little bit of pressure on, that's where you can force guys out of their groove.
Yeah.
After that, disappointed with Yuki again. While I say that, I'm also just kind of coming to the fact that second Red Bull car is just, they just don't care about it. So
it's just hand me down.
I don't think it really matters who's in it. It's just gonna, it's gonna suck. So now we're halfway through the season, and the winner of this whole Red Bull deal right now is, or for that second seat is Perez.
Right.
Cause,
and my thing is, I don't want to see Hajar in the car.
No.
At this point, because as you pointed out, Christian, that seat's an abomination. But my other thing is, it just proves to a point that neither any of the drivers that have been in that seat cannot give the correct feedback as to what needs to be done to make that car competitive. So that again, then I question the ability of some of these drivers. So they're just essentially relying on the engineer and the data to tell them, you know, what they got to fix. Whereas, you know, that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying it's all car either. Like, there's definitely a driver element to it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure if you. You kind of have to put someone, not that anyone is equivalent to Max at this point, but like you need to put someone who's established into that car.
Yeah.
And
right.
And to do that, you're talking any of the top guys in the top teams. So, I mean, like Leclerc, Hamilton, Lando, you might as well put Piastri in there at this point. Russell or Fred.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Just because they all know what the car could actually. Carlos and maybe you could put Carlos in there. Mm-hmm. It's tough to say to put Alex Albon in there again because he was already there and
right.
It was kind of in the same situation. Gasly. So yeah,
right. Gasly too, right?
So it's hard to say with those guys. But I mean,
can we move to a brighter note on the weekend?
Yeah, Liam Lawson finishing.
That was
Porto getting his first point.
I was going to just talk in general team of the weekend. Sauber.
Yes. Yep.
100%. 100%. 100% agree with that. Because Port Little finally got his first points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A very good race.
And a great battle with Fernando. That was based on the entire weekend. He was fast.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, whatever.
He met a very appropriate place. Because he was doing good in practice, qualifying, and whatnot. So it was pretty cool to see him actually finally get some points. And it wasn't like it was 10th either. He finished 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun watching Sauber turned around these past couple of races.
Somebody
at the beginning of the season, we were definitely just kind of writing them off.
Yeah, one of the things that I found out was that some of the reasons that the Sauber pit stops have improved. I mean, first off, obviously with Jonathan Wheatley coming over, but there were some people from Red Bull who left on the pit stop squad that are now at Sauber. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that
do it. There's a guy with the white hair. I think his name was Jonathan something.
Yeah,
Jonathan Wheatley.
Yeah, okay. So I was thinking that
he's the team principal.
Yep. So I'd imagine.
Oh no, he's not the team principal. No. He's
no. That's isn't Matteo?
Bonato. Yeah, Matteo. Yeah. But he's sort of Wheatley. Kind of runs the race weekend. Anyways. Yeah. Sorry.
No worries. You can see the progression, you know, and even with Port Leto, I wasn't sure like where he would be, but he's obviously, you know, now at a point fighting for points and fighting with Fernando Alonso for a position, you know, so that's amazing.
Yep. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Team on the descend, and don't say Red Bull.
Williams.
No.
What do you mean? They couldn't even get points this weekend.
No. Well, not even going there with Williams.
They couldn't get their car to the end.
This team has been horrific.
Alpine.
Of late. Right, just Alpine? Like the French. Yep. Just Alpine? Like the French that's surrendering.
I was going to say, it's either, I mean, what, based on this week, it's either Williams or Alpine would be my guess. Well, but yeah.
Alpine's on the end. Turmoil is now raging as we are at race number 5 for the Argentine wonder kid, Calapino.
Who doesn't know anything about car placement, who forced Oscar Piastri
and,
in the grass.
As well as the erstwhile veteran Frenchman, Pierre Gasly. Flav has laid down the law. They could be both out.
Oh, shit.
And apparently he's in massive negotiations with Toto.
No.
Yes.
For Botas.
For Botas. Just to finish out the season.
That'd be cool.
And then the other thing, which is crazy, because then Alpine in turn loaned out Paul Aaron, who's like dominating in Formula 2, to kick Sauber.
That's so funny.
Anyway, I don't even know if he loaned him out. I think he let him go to Sauber. So, anyways. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. All right, next up, this weekend, Christian will be watching this on Sky Sport because he wants the full British effect.
As he's prepping his tea and getting ready to sit down with some shortbread.
I'm gonna watch the F1 TV broadcast when it's gonna be Davide and Jeremy Clarkson on the grid.
You know what, Christian, this is the other thing from the Box and Neutral guys, they are all in favor of more Davide Velsecki.
He might seem like a clown or like just like unrealistically overly enthusiastic, but like there's a difference between being, you know, the fake fan and trying to drum up all that excitement and everything like that versus like being truly passionate and understanding of the sport. And he is definitely
Thank you.
Like he
is passionate. He
loves the sport. Like that's what I want to see. And can the excitement be a little too much sometimes? Of course, but like it's coming from a spot where you know it's genuine with him.
Yeah, my favorite part was on Saturday. He was up the hill at turn one, and it was awesome. But the rest of the weekend when he went over the final corner and he goes, "We had to get the car moved." I was loving it. I love that guy. He's awesome. He gets the guys in the booth cracking up too. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. That's the best.
And he does he'll do like analysis post race or pre race, whatever, like when he's not at the track.
I love his grid walk.
Yeah. Outside of like the TV personality, like he's very insightful with the discussions and 100%. His takes on them. So I mean, it's, you know, whether you agree with him or not, but like he's got a good perspective on it all. So
no, you're 100% right. 100% right.
In some other news, Austria, they re-upped the contract until 2041.
Yes, I saw that.
Which is the same as Canada that they just came out with. There was two other updates to next season's schedule, and that is Baku is moving from Sunday to Saturday on that same weekend.
Okay.
And there will not be one test session, but three test sessions to kick off the year.
Yes.
Next year.
Yeah.
First one being at Barcelona, which will be a fully closed test. No cameras, media.
So that'll be a non-media one.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the next two tests will be at Bahrain. So in total, they're going to have like, I think like almost, it's going to either be like 8 or 10 days worth of testing.
Gotcha.
They're just tripling testing. And I know next year it's a new car with a new set of regulations. So
yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. But they need testing like this to happen every year.
Right.
Because they just don't get enough to do it. And I know.
Yeah,
they agree. They have a lot of races, but I mean, like, this the testing stuff, this is where your development
this
of your
is,
car
this is
what, has
yeah,
to happen.
Yep, yep.
So
yep.
And
getting the drivers some more track time as well.
Yeah. No, and you know, not only the full time drivers, but if you want to try out anyone else, like this is your time to do it.
Yep.
And I would be totally open if they keep these three test sessions, but you know, just keep two of them at the start of the year and then move one to like the middle of the year if they wanted to. Not during the summer break, but you know, just wherever there's a free weekend or something like that.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. All right. That wraps up the racing. Let's move into some quick news and notes. Tom Blomqvist will be filling in at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, otherwise known as Boss Park, Bullsport, or if you're Canadian. And happy Canada Day today to you, to our Canadian friends. He'll be filling in for Paul DiResta, who has a conflict with WEC. Mm-hmm. Nate was deeply troubled by this news today.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're saying.
When the news Amigos? Broke that, yes.
Oh yeah,
Daniel Suarez out at Trackhouse at the end of the season.
But
I didn't realize he had been there for five seasons.
Right, and this is while you know. He's been with Gaunt Brother Racing. He's been he's been with Joe Gibbs. He's been with Haas.
Yeah.
And Trackhouse. So he's had a very successful whatchamacallit. I guess you could call it successful career in NASCAR. He's won a few races.
Mm-hmm.
But am I calling it retirement?
No, hopefully he'll find a lift, but a ride, we'll see.
But I can already tell you who's going to take his seat.
Oh, that's
and I'm sure 100% Connor Zillage.
Yeah, and I think the reason it happened this year, honestly, is just how quick he's been.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And you know. Makes perfect sense.
And he's been quick in the Xfinity cars for Dale Jr. So, I mean, overall.
Debut.
Yep. No, and I don't see this as, but anyways. Lime Rock set an attendance record with the trucks this weekend. So, congratulations to the folks, good folks at Lime Rock Park.
That's so cool.
It was. Very cool. All right. I'm just checking to see if there's anything else. Oh, the only other thing from the world of IndyCar.
What's that?
Bye-bye, Thermal.
Wow, that's really good news.
Yes. Okay. I agree.
That is such good news.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Thank God.
I mean, finally, it was bad enough it wasn't, you know, an exhibition race. It was an exhibition race, and then it wasn't, and then now it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no.
It had a better life in IndyCar than New Orleans.
That's true. Yep, that's true.
Which, for right reasons. I still find that as like a crappy track that they went to.
Yep. There were a lot of crappy tracks. Edmonton.
How dare you? Edmonton was all right.
Yeah,
they just change the configuration. They just can't change the configuration every so often.
Right.
But I do. Okay. But I know what they were trying to do with Edmonton. They were trying to like have Cleveland or something.
Yeah,
like an idea of Cleveland.
Yeah, in the middle of the tundra.
Right.
All right. Okay. So let's do our picks for this weekend. We have IndyCar. And F1.
And NASCAR.
Who would like to go first? Oh, we're not. We don't pick a NASCAR. No NASCAR.
We'll just go 1, 2, 3. SVG. All right. Now.
F1. All right. There you go.
All right.
F1. So we're doing F1? All right.
I'm going to say McLaren 1-2. They keep it on a roll. Norris wins home Grand Prix. Piastri comes in second.
Okay.
And Lewis keeps his podium streak at Silverstone alive.
Oh, that's exciting.
So,
wow.
Ferrari, are you reading my notes?
Ferrari keeps it up.
There we go. I'm going to go Piastri.
Okay.
Yep. Nope. And then I am going to go Max, and then I'm going to go Kimi.
Wow.
Are we supposed to put a dark horse? Horse on that?
Yes, I'm putting Behrman.
You're going to put Behrman? Okay. I like that. I will go with...
I'm sorry.
Can I say Hadjar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Hadjar.
That's my dark horse. Yeah.
Wow, just
okay.
Nope.
So here we are. Yeah, no. I mean, what is he on an A team? No, he's not. But anyway,
what? No. I was just talking about the previous three picks. Not Hadjar. Just
I was gonna say, like, is Hadjar A team pick? He'll be on the podium.
I'm just looking to mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But it's like now it's like, all right, let's see what we got. But I think I'll tell you what I think is going to happen.
Do you guys want me to pick to win the championship?
No. Nate, get your picks in first. Get your picks in first.
Yeah, I know. So I see Lando winning.
Okay.
Because it's he's overdue for a home race win at this point.
Okay.
And so we got that. I think Oscar Piastri is just going to run into bad luck in one of the races coming up. And I think that this might be just such race where that happens, or maybe there's teammate conflict or whatever. But I see Lando winning it. I can see Max Verstappen getting on the podium, getting second, and then Lewis Hamilton gets third because I think he's going to get on the podium. But I don't think it's going to be a fight for the win podium.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So which would be that podium, but as far as a underdog or dark horse is concerned, I was actually looking at Esteban Ocon.
Okay,
as he has plenty of laps on this track,
you two are seeing a revitalized Haas this weekend.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, they were able to score points with Mick Schumacher in the car at this track.
That's the whole
thing. Figured, if he can score points, definitely Esteban Ocon can, do such. But,
Nate, you also, what's up? You know who also has a lot of laps around Silverstone?
Lewis.
Lance Stroll.
Stop.
Alonso. Max. Stroll, yeah.
Why do we say Stroll twice? Like he doesn't need that much starlight.
Well, we're just making comparisons. We just want to make sure you know who you're comparing Ocon's experience.
Apples to oranges, sure. So,
all right, let's move to IndyCar, Mid Ohio.
I'm going for the double McLaren win. Pato takes the win.
Wow!
Rosenquist is my dark horse.
Okay, Nate.
Yo, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but that pick was like the most. It was the most non-missionary position pick I've ever.
Wow!
Heard.
Hey, wow!
I like it.
Thank you, RJ, for that analogy.
Yeah, I know. That's just one of my favorite things he's ever said. No, but I really, I think Pato Ward, I don't know. I really don't see that happening.
Nate, what do you see
happening?
The realistic pick is either Pillow or Kirkwood. Like, you only have two options with how the season's going.
What? No!
So if you want to be different, you got to pick someone else.
I am going to pick someone else. Like, you know, I was going to pick Scott Dixon to win it.
Okay. All right.
All right. So, and then my dark horse is, let's see. I got a question. Is Meyer Shank considered underdog?
Yes. I picked Rosenquist.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, Christian took Rosenquist.
No, I know.
What are you going to do? You take a Marcus Armstrong?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about it.
Okay. That's,
I think the only teams that are like at the front is really just Ganassi and Penske at this point.
No, it's Ganassi and Andretti. Okay, Penske's not at the front.
Yeah, fair enough.
Penske hasn't won a race this year.
Yeah. Penske's been nowhere this year.
Nowhere.
All right.
And when they were leading, they were crashing.
Yeah.
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 We're cheating. All
right. So really just Ganassi.
We're cheating.
Yeah.
Damn it, Sean.
All right. So I'm up. I was going to pick Dixon, but Nate picked him. So.
Hell yeah. I got you. Listen, I'm a traditional IndyCar fan man.
I'm all for that. I'm going to go Pillow. I know. It's like picking Verstappen.
Mm-hmm. RJ would say? You know what RJ would say to that? That's a missionary position pick.
Yeah. As my dark horse. I'm gonna pick Ferrucci.
No.
Yeah.
Guy. You're a fan of his now?
No.
Hey, he's picking him as his dark horse, not because dark he horse. Wants to. Okay, he wants to pick below.
My only other dark horse, and I was seriously going to do this, was to take Will Power.
That's how dare you? You know, how dare you?
But based on Penske performance this year,
underdogs, right? Yeah,
underdogs.
No team is set in stone of being a dark horse or moving themselves into the dark horse round.
See, this is why I enjoy IndyCar racing, because it is absolutely so random right now. Yep. I know there's been two guys dominating, but the shuffle behind the Kirkwood and Pillow, it's been so random. It's awesome.
If you look at the IndyCar 1.5 standings, it's very up and down.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And you never know what's going to go on. And there's 9 different strategies in a race. You don't even know what the hell's going on. No, seriously.
Yeah. No, it's so good.
At Road America, I had no clue what was going on. Because I thought Pillow had it covered. And then it was like, oh, God, I think he just screwed himself. And then he somehow rebounded. Mm-hmm. You know? So, right. I mean, it's, you know. Anyways, so. Okay. I was going to go Rossi, but I'm going to put it out there for Ferrucci.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the movie, Nate, and we can close the show up today.
All right. Let's do it.
First up, let's just, in your honest opinion, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to go first with mine. What would be your rating of the movie? Okay.
1 to 10 or 0 to 10.
Yeah. So it's like rotten eggs. Yeah. 0 being low, 10 being high. Don't say it yet. My rating.
Yep.
And this is based on the fact that I am a heavy hardcore race fan.
Yep.
I gave the movie a solid 7.
You know, that is a lot higher than what I was thinking you were going to say.
Nope. So I was going to, I could have said 8, but I have a reason for it, and I'm not going to, and that's why I'm not going to give it a higher rating. I will say this, for the non-race fan who wants to go to the movies, or for the Drive to Survive crowd, or for, I won't mention this person's name, podcaster name, that movie would be, I could see that movie being a 10.
For sure. Okay.
Yep. Okay, Nate, the floor is yours for your rating.
Well, I was going to say, I was kind of torn between two numbers, so I gave it an 8.5.
Oh, an 8. Well, how about this? Why don't you just say you give it a solid 8?
Solid 8, yeah.
Solid 8. Okay, that's fine.
Because here's why I was like, flirting with
would you agree to a just before you go to your explanation, would you agree for the non-race fan and the Drive to Survive crowd and, you know, first of all, podcasters and stuff that don't know what they're talking about, would you say that that was a 10? Could have been a 10.
A solid 10. Not just a 10, yep. A solid 10.
From an entertainment standpoint, yes. Okay.
They did great.
All right, Nate, go ahead with your narrative.
So if you haven't seen the movie yet,
don't worry about it. I'm just
for the listeners and whoever, just stop for a couple of minutes because we're going to go, I think we're going to dive down a little bit. So
I have two things. So I just have three things. So I don't have a ton.
I have a little bit because I, yep,
go ahead. You go
I
first.
I thoroughly enjoy.
You know what? I have nothing to add to this.
The
floor is yours, guys. Yeah. No. Just sorry.
Yeah. No worries. But I'll tell you what started off as like a one or a two for me in the movie was how super unrealistic the situation would be of someone getting into F1.
Yes, I agree.
So because my whole thing is, okay, you're taking someone from the 90s who didn't, you know, have their moment in the sun, but then they take the Martin Donnelly crash and say, right, oh yeah, that's Sonny Hayes. He's been through a lot.
We have a driver. Now, Brad Pitt is 61 years old in real life.
Yeah. So what do you think he is in the movie? Same idea? Because it's that time.
Well, Martin Donnelly is my age, so yeah, 59, 60. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, yeah. No, that was, honestly, if you just put Brad Pitt in and didn't, you know, if you said he had been out of the sport for 5 years or so, you know, and he was like Fernando when he retired and, you know, or 40 when he retired and he's coming back at 45, you could make a case that Brad Pitt was 45 in the movie. Brad Pitt was
that's favorite. Fine. That's fine. It would have a better taste in my mouth.
100%. I didn't, yeah. I kind of rolled my eyes about that whole thing. But, you know, that was fine. You want to alternate? I have two drawbacks in the movie. My first drawback, I was very excited that they started and had IMSA in the race at the 24 Hours of Daytona.
Absolutely.
But it was typical Days of Thunder. Why is it that we have to see race cars making contact on the banking? You know, because
in
sports car racing, in sports car racing, honestly, if that happened, like if he moved it, what would have been more realistic was if he had moved them in either one of the horseshoes. That would have been more realistic, okay? Or he moved them going into turn 1-2. That would have been more realistic. But hitting a guy on the banking.
Right, I'm so
like,
glad.
Right on. It was like, he's in a Porsche GT3 and he's hitting the Turner BMW. And I'm going, here we go. Here we go. And then the only other thing was, why did they, this I didn't get. Okay, there was something seriously wrong with this too. The Jamoke that played the team manager on the Porsche team. Or team owner or whatever he was. I have no idea where the hell they got that character, because I honestly, complete Jamoke. The best part was right before Sonny gets in the car, the guy's ripping a butt on the timing stand.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did.
You can't smoke 3 feet because there's a fuel thing in there. Unless you're the World Endurance Ferrari team.
Yeah.
So that was right in the beginning of the movie. I'm like, oh God, and then it sort of overcame that for me. And then I will get to my next thing. Nate, your turn.
The one thing I did not like, and this is jumping further into the movie, mind you.
Yep.
Was, and this is the one reason I really hated Ferrari. The car launches fucking 20 stories high.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And just,
all right. So this,
you know,
is
what I mean?
Because you're saving people having to listen to me, because that was my other one. I literally was like, really? And then it turned into the Grosjean Rise from the Phoenix routine.
Yeah, and all of a sudden Sonny Hayes jumps out of the car, this big tough chested hero is, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Honestly, the car going 37 stories into the air was
against Max Verstappen.
And Max never touched them. And what should have really happened was the car just spun off into the barrier a la Kimi Antonelli and went into the barrier. And then we flash to the driver and is, you know, just disgust. But we don't need to have him, doing the Grosjean routine and that. But that was typical Days of Thunder.
Right.
You know, like
the crash at the Firecracker 400.
There was a scene in Le Mans with Steve McQueen where they did something similar with one of the Ferraris.
Right. Didn't it go off at Indianapolis?
Yeah, it went off in Indianapolis. And it was just kind of like, the only piece that was kind of bogus was like the car launching there. I could see, because back in the day there were dirt mounds and stuff. The scene that I was like, really? The car blowing up? I'm like, ugh. It's like apparently every race car, when it crashes, blows up.
Apparently.
But yet,
Nate, here we are.
Thank you. That was the only other scene in the movie I was just like, yeah, that was dumb. And a lot of people, race people, are saying the same thing, that was the dumbest scene, because it was right out of Ferrari.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, this isn't, I know it's like, here's probably
now the rest,
right? No, but think about the situation for a second, because right, you have whoever directing the movie, right?
Joe Kaczynski, yeah,
right. Those two guys, but then they also have, you know, it's a blunder effect, right? All right, you have him, those two guys, and Lewis Hamilton kind of putting a story together, and now it's like they probably ask, well, what track or race has probably the most crashes, and Lewis probably the most safety cars is Monza.
Yeah, which is so fine.
That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah,
but
that was. Other than that, I mean, outside of that, those are my two things. I wasn't really thrilled with. I thought they could have made Joshua Pierce's character a little more likable. You know.
I know.
We didn't need the him being the rookie driver who knew everything. You know, we didn't need that. Like,
okay, but you know who did that? You know who put that character in, right?
Does he drive for Ferrari?
Yes.
But
come on,
I thought his character, if he was a little more likable, would have went somewhere in the movie, and yeah. I would have had more empathy for him if he crashed in a normal fashion there.
Right.
But I mean, that's nitpicking on that. But Nate, the crash scene was like the dumbest scene.
I know. And then like I was watching it with my nephew, mom, brother, and his girlfriend. And so it's like us five are watching it, and they're like, oh my gosh, that crash was so bad. And I'm like,
it was CGI. Like,
yeah, I'm rolling my eyes. And then, and I'm just like, here I am telling these, I'm like, if you watch the race, that doesn't happen.
Right, right.
They're like, well, why would they put it on the screen like that? I'm like, Hollywood. All right,
that's why? It. That's because it. you people bit into it. Left,
you guys, look at you guys. Look at you guys. Yeah. You guys are wide open. Like, eyes wide open. Like, oh, is he okay? Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my hokey moment in the movie.
Oh. Yeah,
but I had two hokey movies, but the rest of it was fantastic.
Those great
subplots. Yeah, I like the Christian. You might have to bleep this out. I like the shithousery with them manipulating the yellow flags and stuff. I thought that was hilarious. I thought it was very tongue in cheek when they would go Plan C. And I was like, oh, this is, they're like, are they like taking a swipe at Ferrari?
Yeah, that was my original thought. But then once I understood what it was, I was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I thought it was pretty cool that, they came up with some kind of, some kind of mid-season adjustment that made the car competitive. I mean, because honestly, they scripted that right out of when Braun came out of the box and had the car that was different.
Yeah.
So that was fine. So there were things like that. I thought you had the obligatory love interest with Brad Pitt and the car designer. I mean, you knew that was coming. I forget who the guy with the team owner there. The actor's name.
I know you got the guy with the sunglasses.
But he was Brad Pitt's teammate earlier on and stuff. I thought he was. Yes. I thought he portrayed that character really well. The other guy that was good was the team principal, Casper.
I'm glad you said that.
That was a great character.
He was a great character. There's a scene where he's looking at Gunther, and Gunther like flips him off. Like,
yeah. Oh, that was so good. The other moment in the movie I should have just got up and went to a men's room was the one line Zach Brown delivered.
Oh, can you? Oh, I know what you're talking about. Was this in the press?
Yeah, meeting? it's a typical obnoxious Zach Brown. It's just like,
It's like, I know he tried.
I think he really tries to be that douchey all the time. it's a tired act, and I really can't take it. Anyways, moving on from that.
I was the only person laughing really hard when I saw the Gunther Steiner.
Yeah, the Gunther thing, I was dying. Yeah, I saw it with our Lime Rock and Watkins Glen crew, and we were all laughing our asses off.
Yeah, no, that's what made the movie for me.
It would have been better if they had Gunther just go for F sakes.
But you know what else too? I think there was a lot of scenes cut from the movie.
Well, they cut. Yeah, there was some scenes that they cut because I think just out of pure stupidity they cut them. Like meaning that the scene after they looked at it and go, this is a dumb scene. Like there was one scene where Brad Pitt crashed the car and he like gets out of the car and he walks down the straightaway and he collapses. I'm like, that never happened.
Yeah, Singapore.
Like, why was that? Like just get rid of that.
Or when he won in Mexico. Or,
no, that was Vegas. Like, no, it was at Vegas.
That was Vegas.
He had the big crash. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, There was just stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't, you know, but there was like the subplot where the guy kind of sabotaged the team. You know, I thought that I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, things like that were cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like I said, I mean, if you're a non-race fan, it's a solid 10. It's worth the price of admission. Most of the folks that I know that have seen it that are hardcore race fans, I think Nate, 7 or 8 is where they've been.
I would say yes, 7 or 8 for.
I'm not going to go rushing back to the movie. I'm not going to go pay for it again. I will watch it when it comes on a service provider,
right?
Apple or whatever, or Netflix. I will watch it. I'm still not going to say it's one of the greatest racing movies ever. It was good. It was priced entertainment.
They did pretty good. They did pretty good. Yeah. Price the entertainment, you know.
Yeah.
So
two things.
I encourage people to see it. I really do encourage.
I agree, Nate. I agree. And I thought the realism with the pit stops and what went on in the garage was good, and the team bonding I thought was good too.
Well, yeah, because it was realistic. It was believable. You know.
Yeah. Like the track
see that happen or something.
Yeah, the track runs and stuff. Yeah. I thought that stuff was all good.
So
mistakes in pit road.
Two questions. One kind of counterpoint. This unrealistic crash scene.
Yes.
The only thing that I would counter to that is Alex Pironi's F3 incident,
which is where I think they got it from.
Yeah. Which, so
yeah,
it's not, well, totally I think unrealistic, but the fiery ball of flame
they lifted that from Grosjean going through the barrier,
right? So like it, not every,
because they show him coming out of the car through the flames, just like, yeah. Grosjean.
So I mean, I know like the cars being launched is definitely like the Hollywood thing that they want to see. But
yeah,
it's not out of the realm of car crashes, but it does.
No.
It is.
Yeah, but
it's kind of a tiring act where, yeah, it's not something that happens all the time. And when it does happen, like, yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
I like, that's like a true race fan is like, really? Do we have to go there?
Yeah.
Right.
That was my thing. Whereas I think if he spun and did a hard crash into the barriers, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe he tweaked his back or neck, you know, that would have been fine. And you could have flashed to his they could have flashed to his helmet and shown him the disgust that he threw a race away, you know? I mean, would have been, I thought, much more, would have added to the scene a lot more.
I mean, they could have done the Lewis and Max Silverstone incident. Like, that was a hard
hit. Thank God. Nah, they tried. They were doing banging and stuff. Okay. They had wheel bang, and it's like, that's, Nate, that's the other thing. Like, do we have to constantly have wheel banging?
No,
it's just like in NASCAR, real NASCAR, that happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so I get in the movies why it happens in a NASCAR movie, but like, yeah, they touch occasionally in Formula One, but as Christian said, if they touch, it's going to be disastrous. Mm. And it's like, I'm just like, you can have wheel to wheel, close action, but it's just those little things that are just. I will say this, Nate. Please agree with me or not. It was exciting and refreshing to see a racing movie in the post 1970 Le Mans movie. At least the drivers did not downshift the pass in this movie.
Yes. Yes, and you know what else too? There wasn't.
They didn't give the look to the right.
Or the look to the crowd.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's what I was excited about in the movie.
Yeah. I thought about that after I came out of the movie. It's like, there was no downshift to pass.
Yeah, like downshift to fourth and just all of a sudden the spot.
And you take them at over 200 miles an hour as you downshift and over rev the engine. Yeah.
Oh,
Anyways, that was good. Yeah. So I agree, Nate. Like on your side, the esoteric 6-year-old guy jumping back into Formula One, far fetched.
Very.
I was just like the obligatory, you know, cars running into one another was my thing, and then yes, the over needlessly overhyped car crash scene.
The other question that I had was of the recent racing movies.
Yes,
where would you rank? Oh, okay. And like would so you, of okay. recent ones that I'm thinking of are.
Can I
Gran Turismo, Ferrari,
oh,
Rush.
All right.
Is there something else that I'm another major one?
Ford versus Ferrari.
Yep, Ford versus Ferrari, and we can also remove Ferrari itself because
that's a whole movie about it.
That was more of a docudrama.
Yeah, yeah. So we can take that one. So Rush, Ford versus Ferrari, Gran Turismo, and let's start with those, and then if you from that, I would probably get a better idea of where it would rank. I guess all time.
Well, I think the all time worst, and it would be considered in the current genre. Driven first is last.
The Chicago street race scene,
Driven, or as we like to call it, Drivel. Gran Turismo would be next, absolutely horrendous. I would then go only because I don't think this movie stacks up to the other two. It does, but it doesn't. It's just, I would probably put, as a race fan, I would probably put this movie, F1, third. And then I would put Ford versus Ferrari second. And then I would put a Rush number one. No. We haven't gotten to that. Yeah. We haven't got to that. No. Christian was just talking in the contemporary years.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because now, if Nate, does your list kind of stack similar?
Or yeah, pretty similar. Yeah.
Okay. So then,
I mean, the only one, Nate, you could probably move F1 the movie. I wouldn't say, I don't think F1 the movie was better than Rush. That's just my opinion. I think Rush is still
better
of the contemporary movie. Yeah, I think it's better.
I think it's better too.
But you could probably say flip Ford versus Ferrari in F1 movie. I think they're solid 2-3 either way.
Yeah, I really.
So if you want to go Christian, if you want to go all time,
well, so all time like that kind of summarizes it pretty good because all time like all right, Le Mans is up there, Grand Prix is up there, and but like if you're just putting it under Rush, like once you get to Rush, like that's where the contention is.
Yeah. So in my world, I would put Le Mans first. I would put Rush second. I would put Grand Prix third. Basically, the reason for that is basically because of the cinematography and the stuff, given the fact that the movie was shot in the 1960s, given the fact that they were able to weave in superstar Formula One drivers into these things, the scenes were authentic. They used Formula Two cars as the Formula One cars, and they sexed them, you know, dressed them up as Formula One cars, so that the actors could drive those cars as well as the superstars at the time could. And I thought it caught the essence of the era. You know, it was the danger, there was the Ritz glamour, all that stuff. Then I would go, I'd probably go Formula One. I Formula One or Ford versus Ferrari, and then Gran Turismo. And well, where would you put Stroker A?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one.
That's the Clyde Torkel Chicken Farms car with Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise.
Mm-hmm. I know Burt Reynolds is in it. I haven't seen it. I heard that there's cameo drivers in it.
Jeez. Where does Days of Thunder stack up with this?
I would put Days of Thunder right after. I would put Days of Thunder. Actually, if you're going to throw Days of Thunder in, I would throw it in Actually, I'm going to have to throw it in the top five. Mm. I thought it was good.
Days of Thunder is great.
I thought it was good. Yeah. Again, that's for me, for a racing movie, that would be a 7. Yeah.
This might
like, be. Days of Thunder, I enjoyed the quotes in the movie.
Well, like, I wouldn't say, like, if somebody's going to tell me Ricky Bobby's like a top. I would put
Is
Ricky
that too
Bobby,
much of a stretch?
Yeah, I would put Ricky Bobby ahead of. Yeah, I would put it. I would put it. So if I was going from the back up, I would go Driven, Gran Turismo, Ricky Bobby, only because it's a pure comedy.
Yeah.
It's not a racing movie.
No.
You know? But, I mean, do I think it's good? Yeah, I do. The other thing, then I would start, then you get into the you know, Ford versus Ferrari, Days of Thunder, mm-hmm. F1. Those three movies you could put right together.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, Nate, would you know, I don't know if you had a preference on the top, whatever, but.
Well, I mean, it's kind of in line with you guys, but I mean, I'm a bit indifferent with Days of Thunder because it's nostalgic. It's the first racing movie I've seen. So I'm a bit biased, you know.
And honestly, it was a great action movie.
But I, you know, there's only really two movies. If I'm like doing something and I get distracted by this movie, like Days of Thunder is the only movie I'll stop what I'm doing and like
you stop, you know, what you're doing,
sit down and watch.
No, like I'll be honest with you. As a kid, when Le Mans came on out of the blue, I would sit there and watch it. Or I will say this: when Grand Prix came on, I would watch it.
Yeah. So
you know,
but that's just it. You know, like as you know,
but back in the day,
the 90s, Days of Thunder, and that's just what I grew
back
up
in the day.
You know,
but back in the day for me, like Days of Thunder when that came on. I went to the movies and saw it, loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, when it would come on TV, I would watch it, but it was hard to watch it when it was on regular TV when they'd splice the ads in. But now that you can watch it uninterrupted, it flows much better.
Oh, for sure.
But it's, I would say that, you know, none of these are, you know, I think from a cinematic artistic piece, I think Le Mans and Grand Prix and Rush probably catch that. F1 does to a degree. It does. You know, I think in Ford versus Ferrari, there was some, you know, first off, they didn't go to the historic tracks. They went to Fontana. They went to Road Atlanta. It's like, come on, just go to the tracks if you're making the movie. Because like Christian's going, they're going the wrong way.
I mean, at least they did it a little bit better than Gran Turismo, where they used the Hungaro Ring four different tracks from four different
angles. Oh, God, I know. That's what bothered me so much about it.
I was like Le Mans, Hungaro
Ring. What made Rush good was how they interspliced the actual footage with the movie footage.
Yeah.
And that's what they did in F1, the movie that they did well. And you know, they did it in Le Mans. They definitely did it because they had a camera car run the entire race. And in Grand Prix, John Frankenheimer did do that during some of the races or practice sessions where they had a camera car out there with the actual Formula One cars. So, I mean, I 100%, the other thing is, took in $150 million this weekend. It's Brad Pitt's highest grossing film.
How about that?
It's awesome.
Even more than actually, I would have guessed like Moneyball or Ocean's Mr. and Mrs. Smith would have been. Oh yeah, that too.
I would have said Ocean's 11 only because of the cast and that. But
true,
I think the other movies that he does, I mean, like Inglourious Basterds and all that. Those are actually like old school acting movies. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I which I think is great. I did like the character Sonny Hayes because he did kind of bring his character. It had a little bit of the character from Ocean's 11 in it, so I kind of like that, and I like that character in the movie. So I thought that was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, he was a bit of a
smart aleck. It was kind of cool and stuff like that. Yeah. So, anyways, all right. Well, there we go. There you go. An honest review of the movies, Christian, right there.
I mean, you guys, so, you guys definitely rated Christian's it probably, way higher than what I thought. And like,
than what you thought,
and,
yeah.
And, I know. And I'm, I know. Like, Nate, I can kind of believe on this. You, I cannot. So, like, I'm, yeah. Some yeah. of it.
That's
some
why
of
it I was shocked.
So, some of it, I actually yep. think you're like pulling my leg on this one.
No, I'm not. I'm actually not because and ask you can ask any one of the Watkins Glen crew okay. what I rated that movie. There was one member of the Watkins Glen crew, he will remain nameless, who rated it a 10.
Oh God,
I think I know who this is.
I hope I think this was who this is.
Only one person.
Should we out? Should
no,
we
no,
out
no,
this
no,
person?
No, 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 no. This no. will be after the.
But okay. That's my thing. I'm telling you, like, I'm the guy that would probably guess it a 10 in your book, right? But here I am going with a 8 or 9.
If you ask the Watkins Glen crew when we get outside the movie theater and walk downstairs, we were outside standing around. I literally went solid 7, and everybody looked at me like, "You got it? Really?" I go, "Yeah, solid 7."
All right.
And I said, "That's from a hardcore race fan."
Yeah. So.
All right. And on that
note, to a US. Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.